Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
There's no proof that my kids are dead or alive. There's no proof that she killed them or she didn't kill them. I mean, there's no proof either way.
It hurts all of us to the core that love the children, and nobody is doing anything. This is all about Catherine. That's what gets me. It's all about her. The mother, who is locked up, so to speak, she's got all her rights. I mean, she's on the internet, she's doing whatever. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
The problem is she doesn't want to go to jail. It's as simple as that.
Hello, and welcome to episode 78 of The Vanished. On the afternoon of September 7th, 2014, Catherine Hoggle told family members that she was taking her 2-year-old son, Jacob, to get pizza in Montgomery County, Maryland. Hours later, she returned without Jacob or a pizza, but stated that she had left Jacob with a friend. By the next morning, Jacob's 3-year-old sister, Sarah, would be missing too. For over 2 years, their mother, Catherine, has been in a psychiatric facility, but has been repeatedly declared incompetent. Law enforcement isn't even allowed to question her about what she did with little Jacob and Sarah, leaving these two innocent children voiceless within our court system. We all understand why certain protections exist to prevent injustice, but this is a case that will make you question whether those protections are causing another injustice altogether. This is Jacob and Sarah's story.
Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
Every story that I've covered on this show is heartbreaking in its own way. But the idea of a child going missing is almost unbearable to think about. A family losing 2 children is simply unfathomable. The story of how Jacob and Sarah disappeared is senseless and shocking. Since they've been gone, their father has hit numerous roadblocks within our legal system, which has rendered the children voiceless. In order to understand how this all happened, you have to go back many years to when Catherine Hoggle was in middle school. This is when her mother says that she started to see signs that something wasn't quite right. Doctors became concerned that she was exhibiting signs of bipolar disorder. But Catherine was concerned about the stigma of mental illness and would be vague with doctors to avoid being labeled. In 2007, Catherine was attending community college in Montgomery County, Maryland. This is when she met Troy Turner. The two would go on to have 3 children together. In 2008, their oldest son was born. I'm keeping his name out of the show for privacy reasons, and you'll hear it bleeped a couple times in this episode. After their first son was born, Troy started to notice some odd behavior, but attributed those behaviors to postpartum depression. Catherine started to think that people were out to break up their family, but with time, those symptoms started to subside and things returned to normal. By all accounts, Catherine was an attentive mother. In 2010, Sarah was born, followed by the birth of Jacob in 2012. Catherine again began showing signs that something wasn't quite right. She would control simple situations by withholding information, then began to appear confused and paranoid. In 2013, she became convinced that Troy's sister was breaking into their home, stealing things, and following her. This continued to escalate until Troy was forced to have her committed for treatment.
Like, the major shift would have been around 2013, and that was whenever I had her committed and stuff. You know, between 2012 and 13, she started to get progressively worse. Throughout the relationship, things had happened, but it was kind of stuff like when she was pregnant or whatever, I would wave off as, you know, hormones or whatever. At that point, it kind of became undeniable that there was something wrong. You know, any time she went in there, it was between 60 and 90 days where she was brought to competency to be out and about, stuff like that. I think a lot of it kind of turned into where she felt like there was punishment involved, like with having a day program. I wasn't allowing her to be alone with the kids. When I talked to the doctors, they agreed with me when I said I didn't think it was a good idea. I was paying babysitters, things like that, to be there or to take the kids to when I was at work for a while. And her family stepped up and said that they would make sure they were there with her so that she could have more time with the kids, kids could have more time with their mom. At the time, I thought it was a good idea. And apparently, I was wrong. And that was kind of, you know, part of the downfall. Whenever I was at work, with her being able to get away with my kids, even, you know, I mean, she took off. She wasn't supposed to drive or wasn't supposed to be alone with them. She, you know, her father threw her the keys and she took off with my son. When she came back without him, no one even called.
During this time frame when Catherine was in and out of psychiatric facilities, she was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, which is a combination of schizophrenia symptoms like hallucinations and delusions, with mood disorder symptoms like depression or mania. As a side note, what you'll find in articles written about the case is that Catherine is currently described as a paranoid schizophrenic. As Troy stated, when she returned home, they were trying to make reasonable accommodations so that Catherine could be around her children, but that the children would be safe. It's important to note that up until this point, she never harmed the children, but Troy didn't feel comfortable leaving them alone with her all day while he worked. Family members and friends worked together to come up with a plan so that another adult would always be there while he was working. Sometimes this would be at their own apartment, and other times they would be with Catherine's parents. On Sunday, September 7th, 2014, they attended their oldest son's soccer game in the morning, and then Troy dropped Catherine and the kids off at her mother's house. Catherine's parents were divorced, but like everyone else, they were working together to help the situation, so her father came over to supervise Catherine and the kids. Catherine told her father that she had a coupon for a free pizza at Pizza Hut and asked if she could take Jacob to go get the pizza. She left with Jacob in her dad's gray 2007 Nissan Rogue around 4 p.m. that day.
Yeah, she supposedly was going to Pizza Hut. She took Jacob and her dad threw the keys and she left. And when she came back, after hours, apparently. Then, like I said, I mean, this is all hearsay to me. I mean, all this wasn't stuff I was there for. You know, I'm taking the words, in some cases, of people who I don't know if I trust they're even telling the truth. So that's what makes it kind of hard to do a timeline and try to straight things out, like, which is kind of where you start with these things.
When she returned from this trip to supposedly go to Pizza Hut, she told her dad that she had left Jacob with a friend for a sleepover. She said that this sleepover had been planned in advance. Apparently, her father believed this story about the sleepover. Later that evening, while Troy was still at work, Catherine's family brought her and the other two children back to their apartment. Troy explained to me how he got home extra late that night after Catherine asked him to run errands.
I got home kind of late from work that night, and looking back now, she may have even been stalling me or whatever. But I got a call from her saying we needed stuff from the store on my way home. So I wound up going to the store. I left the store probably right around midnight when they closed and got home. She was waiting for me outside, asked me to run to McDonald's real quick. Her dad was in there, you know, with the kids supposedly or whatever. So I was like, all right, fine. Came back, unloaded the groceries. And normally I would always go, you know, kiss the kids goodnight and all that stuff. I was just tired. She laid on the couch. By this point, we weren't really even in a relationship. You know, I was kind of, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I mean, I had her there because she was my kid's mom, and I wanted to try to have my kid's mom in their life in a healthy way. At the same time, and she probably knew this too, this may be part of it, I was in the middle of kind of trying to ease her out, like back to her mom's or somewhere else.
Since Jacob's crib was in his parents' room, when Troy went to bed that night, he noticed that Jacob wasn't in there. But this wasn't a cause for alarm, because Jacob would often climb out of his crib and go sleep in his big brother's room.
Yeah, so I just figured he was in there, And it's like, you know, the one night I didn't go to kiss them all goodnight and stuff, I was like, I don't want to wake anybody up. I'm tired. If they wake up, then I'm up. So I went ahead and went to sleep.
Sometime in the night or early morning hours, Catherine left. When Troy woke up the next morning, only he and his older son were home.
The next morning, my older son wakes me up about 15, 20 minutes earlier than normal for him to get up at that time. At that point, I don't remember what happened exactly, but I know I got up, and that was, I noticed Catherine wasn't there. I went into Sarah's room, she wasn't there. And I looked at him, I said, where's Jacob? He said, I don't know. He said, Jacob's not here. I said, is anyone else there? He said, no. I checked my drawer, the keys were going to the minivan, my wallet was gone. I grabbed my phone and tried to call hers, and her phone was there. So I got dressed real quick because I didn't want to panic my oldest son. Walked him up to his bus stop. I put him on the bus and called the police. I was on the 911 call when she pulled back up. And that was whenever she gave me the story about, you know, she had put him in a daycare.
So Catherine told Troy that she took both Sarah and Jacob to a daycare in Germantown that was having a trial program. This story made sense to Troy because they had talked about putting the kids into a daycare. Troy was still really angry that she had done this without telling him, since she wasn't supposed to take the kids by herself or be driving. He warned her if she did that again, he would press charges, then got back on the phone to the 911 operator and told her that everything was fine and hung up. He took Catherine to her treatment program and then picked her back up that afternoon around 2 p.m. Troy wanted to go pick up the kids from daycare and check out the place to see if he liked it. Their older son had attended a daycare program in the area when he was younger, but Catherine said that wasn't the place, and she named a daycare in Germantown. This didn't seem unreasonable because they had discussed trying out that daycare that she mentioned, but as they drove around, Catherine became increasingly more evasive.
The gist of it is when I start to go to where the daycare is, she says, this isn't the one, it's the other one down the street. I go down the street. I keep going down the street. I said, are you sure it's in Germantown? She said, yeah. I said, well, we're in Gaithersburg now. So I start to make a U-turn. And I asked her, I said, what street is it on? She goes, I don't know. I said, what's it called? She said, I don't know. I said, what's the phone number there? She said, I don't know. She said, they have my number. I said, so you're telling me you dropped our kids off somewhere. You don't know the name, the street, where it's at, and don't have a phone number for it? So she was like, well, they have my number. And that's when I kind of flipped out.
Troy contacted Catherine's mom and asked her to come get their older son so that he wouldn't have to witness any arguing, as it was becoming clear that something was very wrong with this situation.
And at that point, I was like, you need to take me to the kids now. She led me on some little wild goose chase to some other place. So then I just started driving to a police station. And she said that she would take me there. She told me it was on Bethesda Church Road. There's no reason for her to know of anything there. I've never heard of a daycare. I Googled it, looked it up, and there was one there. So I was like, all right. She said that she needed to get a Dr. Pepper because like she needed like to basically stay awake on the medication she was on. She would need like caffeine and sugar at times. So I was like, all right, fine. So we went to Chick-fil-A. That was when she snuck out while I was waiting for her. And then I went straight to the police station after that.
At this point, Jacob, Sarah, and Catherine were all missing. Captain Darren Frank spoke to the media in an attempt to reach the public with the hopes of finding them.
Good morning. Appreciate you being here again. Just a couple updates before Mr. Hoggle speaks. First of all, again, I want to remind everyone, this is an incredibly serious situation. We have two children, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, who have now been uncontacted by responsible adults for over 72 hours. We have no sightings of Catherine Hoggle since Tuesday morning at 4:40 a.m., and we have no contact from her. So the conditions of this investigations have not changed. We are gravely concerned for Catherine, for Jacob, and for Sarah, and we need to get them back. Couple updates for you. Obviously, yesterday we filed charges. We requested from the commissioners to review our probable cause. Two counts of child neglect based on our probable cause were issued. It is a tough decision in this case. Obviously, there are some mental health concerns. Our concern is the investigation and bringing those two children home. This allows us to do some things. I'll give you an example. In Virginia yesterday, because we had the warrant, we were able to, we got a tip from the great work that you're doing. A partner law enforcement agency, because of the warrant, because of this investigation, went to a house to see if there were two children there that matched a description. They did not find Jacob or Sarah. What they did find were two other children that were being neglected. At that time, those officers arrested the two adults that were with those children. And now we can say that because of this, at least two children are safe and in a better environment than they were yesterday. Now our obligation is to bring Jacob and Sarah home. So that charging document, it also allows us to talk to other agencies, mental health agencies, and really put a fine note on the need to cooperate. And it also makes it clear to anyone that may be aiding Catherine that thinks that they're doing something good to help Catherine. And we can certainly understand that. If they think that, we want them to be crystal clear. We are deeply concerned for those children. We need to contact them, bring them home to their family. The investigation and the search, I'll tell you, we have two operations going on. We have the investigative operations, which again still involves every division of the Investigative Services Bureau for Montgomery County Police. Major Crimes is the lead on it. We are running down every single lead. We are collecting data from phones. We're collecting data from sightings. We're collecting data from just interviews with people that knew Catherine, and we're chasing down every single possibility to figure out where she is. The second part of the search is our managed search operations team. I don't know if you've seen them. They are out there doing searches in various parts of Montgomery County. They were up Route 28 yesterday. There are other locations today. They have fanned out, and based on the intelligence and the data that we have collected in this investigation, which I will tell you is there's an extraordinary amount, they are making educated decisions on where we need to search to try and locate Jacob, Sarah, or Catherine. They're searching woods. They're searching shopping centers. Obviously, we had searched the Harris Teeter before yesterday's announcement. And they will continue to react to the conditions on the ground that we come up with investigatively. So, again, we're very lucky. I will tell you there's at least 50 officers involved with that effort alone. And then certainly this morning, some of you may have heard there was a possible sighting in Germantown. Our patrol officers responded quickly, efficiently, and we were able to rule that out. So the message is out there. People are seeing things, and instead of making their own judgment call, they're letting us figure it out. Finally, before questions, I want to talk about the family's help. The family has been extraordinary in helping us. They have answered every call. They have provided us with their vehicles to look at. They've provided us with all kinds of information on what Catherine, what she does, what she's about, who she talks to, her thoughts, her feelings, so that we can, again, in cooperation with them, bring her home, bring Jacob and Sarah home. I will tell you, the father was here again. The father of Jacob and Sarah was here again yesterday, provided some very pertinent information. Lastly, as far as the family goes, with us today is Randy Hoggle. He is the father of Catherine. He was with Catherine on Sunday, was with Jacob and Sarah, and we wanted to have him an opportunity to speak with you, and more importantly, to talk to Catherine about what we're doing to bring her home safely.
Catherine's father, Randy, made a plea to Catherine to come home.
Good morning. I'd be remiss if I didn't start, ladies and gentlemen, by thanking Montgomery County Police Department. They have worked tirelessly. There are so many people trying to help, and we just appreciate that tremendously. I don't usually cry, so I apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could, I really am saying this for my daughter, and this is a plea to my daughter to come home and have help. Many people deal with mental illness. Many families deal with mental illness. It's always a judgment about medication and the delicate balance of medication being taken. We know she's probably not been on medication for 2 weeks, and thus we know, Catherine, this is not you, and this is not who you're about and what you do. you were the first of four kids to give me a chance to be soccer coach. Probably was never good at it, but certainly did my best. You and Troy have given me a chance to have on the soccer team. Next week, we're going to work on them going toward the right goal. But we want Sarah and Jacob to have those same kind of opportunities. The first kiss, the first homecoming, the last prom, and a full life. And we want you to do that as well. Everyone here is committed to, if you just come and get help, we'll all help you. And for that, I just want to say, please come home. We miss you. And we miss the kids.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
Just after 11 p.m. on Friday, September 12th, Catherine was spotted just a couple of blocks from where she went missing. A couple called 911 to report that they had seen her, and she was quickly taken into custody. Unfortunately, there were no signs of Jacob or Sarah. They brought her in for questioning, and this was the one chance that they got. In this interview, Captain Frank discussed Catherine's changing stories.
She does have the history that she did receive care for her mental health, and there is quite a bit of history there. In the days leading up to this and the day after the children went missing, she was in counseling sessions, so it's definitely part of it. Right now she's with the Department of Corrections, and they're doing a great job at caring for her and allowing her access to her lawyers and to continue in the court process of evaluating how she was now or how she was at the time that this crime occurred. She told us that originally she told us in the interview that she put them with someone and that they were safe and that she refused to tell us. Eventually, through the course of the interview, she then told us that she put them somewhere and was not mentioning that she put them with someone else anymore. And we debunked her story about who she actually placed them with, and we would have located them by then if there was any truth to it. Again, we're going with the homicide investigation as part of what we're doing. My experience, what Catherine has said, some utterances she made, the way that, what the lawyers have and haven't been able to tell us, our belief is that this isn't going to end well.
They also had Catherine's father and Troy go in and speak with her to try to get her to give up the location of the children. but she just wouldn't budge. She was sent to jail, but was quickly transferred to a psychiatric facility where she's been ever since. Her attorney has successfully argued that she's incompetent, so now the police aren't even allowed to talk to her. When I spoke with Troy, there are two aspects of this case that he brought up to me that he disagrees with. One is Catherine's competency, and the other is how quickly the focus of the investigation went from a missing persons investigation to a homicide investigation. Now I can tell you, he is very realistic and understands that the possibility that Catherine killed Sarah and Jacob is very real. He does not discount that. But he does feel like there are other possibilities that should not be discounted. Instead of looking at all the evidence objectively and coming to a conclusion, law enforcement has come to the conclusion that the children are deceased and are looking for evidence to prove their case. Some of the other theories that he suggested were that she could have given them to a family who desperately wanted children. She could have convinced someone that they were rescuing them from an abusive situation, or she could have sold them into trafficking. There is nothing definitive pointing in any direction. If Catherine was unhappy with the level of control that others had over her life, from not being allowed alone with her own kids, to having to go to a day program at a psychiatric facility, could she have been making arrangements to have someone take the kids and then meet up with her later? You would think that if that were the case, she would have caved by now, but who really knows? If she did give them to someone else, why hasn't that person come forward after seeing them on the news? One theory that I've seen tossed around is that she could have left them with some kind of group that lives a more off-the-grid lifestyle. The Amish have been mentioned since it isn't too far of a drive to Amish country in Pennsylvania. A group like that may not have even heard of the missing children because of their minimal use of modern technology. What if it's as simple as she met someone through the day program that she was in, and that person talked her into handing over the kids for some reason? Extensive searching for the children has been done, but no trace of them has ever been found. When she left with Jacob and then with Sarah, she left her phone behind. Because of this, they haven't been able to track down what direction she went in with either of them. No one has come forward saying that they saw her with either child when they went missing. One interesting detail that Troy pointed out to me was that unlike the prison system, no one is tracking or monitoring her phone calls in the psychiatric facility. We have no clue who she may be in communication with. She could be talking about where the kids are located and no one else would know. That brings us to the issue of her competency. This has been a constant battle over the past 2, going on 3 years. Competency is about the defendant's mental state at the time of court proceedings, not when the crime was committed. To be competent, a defendant has to be able to understand the proceedings against them and assist in their own defense. This differs from using insanity as a defense, which would be something that would be decided during the trial. Catherine was declared incompetent very early on, and every time she gets reevaluated, the judge rules in the favor of the defense. There's been a lot of disagreement over whether or not she is truly competent. At one point, Catherine requested to take the police to the children, but we'll never really know if she truly intended to do so, because this is what happened.
The mother of 2 missing children in Montgomery County says she's ready to reveal the children's whereabouts. But right now, the search for Sarah and Jacob Hoggle is still at a standstill because of what happened in court this afternoon. Maryland Bureau Chief Brad Bell is live in Rockville with the latest details. Brad?
Well, what happened was Catherine Hoggle's attorney successfully argued that not only did she not want to help police anymore, but that she was so mentally ill, she couldn't make a decision to do such a thing anyway. Now, that dashed the hopes of the family members of these 2 little children who really thought today they might get some answers. Sarah and Jacob Hoggle have been missing for nearly 2 months. Their mother, Catherine, is locked in a psychiatric prison in connection with their disappearance. And yet, the children's father, Troy Turner, has never given up hope they're alive.
Oh, no, I believe that. Period. Yeah, if I didn't, I wouldn't be standing here, you know. I'd be somewhere else broken down.
So when Catherine Hoggle called him and her own mother, Lindsay, over the weekend to say the children are alive and she is ready to lead police to them, Turner rushed to tell detectives and prosecutors.
I think she knew where they were. I think she knows where she thinks they are.
So today, in district court, with Catherine Hoggle in the courtroom, State's Attorney John McCarthy asked a judge to allow Hoggle under tight guard to show police where she left the children. In response, Hoggle's attorney said Catherine does not want to help police and that she is far too mentally ill to make such a decision anyway.
To think that she is in a position where she would be able to render any meaningful assistance or non-assistance just logically makes no sense given the circumstances of this case.
And so the judge denied McCarthy's request and sent Hoggle back for treatment and evaluation. Troy Turner's hopes dashed.
I would like to have had my say.
State's Attorney John McCarthy says his next step will likely be to seek an indictment for murder.
That is something that is under consideration, I think, is part of our ongoing investigation.
Now, McCarthy says he has no way of knowing if Catherine Hoggle would have really helped anyway had she gone out with police, but he had to pursue the lead.
Captain Darren Frank spoke to the media about the disappointment they felt when they weren't able to take Catherine out of the facility when she said she would take them to the kids, and also the difference between the way she's acted when they've interviewed her and the way she acts in court.
I didn't believe it was going to happen. I had more of a hope that she would be able to do it when she was acting outside of her attorneys. And again, I spoke with her, my investigator spoke with her, and she very clearly, very lucid, said, yes, I want to take you to an address, and was trying to dictate terms to us on when she wanted to go, and she wanted to go immediately. I'm disappointed that she wasn't afforded the opportunity that day to go. But I certainly understand the judge's decision, and he had a great deal of wisdom, and he's been on the bench for a long time, so I definitely respect that.
The Catherine Hoggle that you saw in that courtroom,
mm-hmm.
Was she the same Catherine Hoggle that you interviewed?
He
said that she, in what way was she different?
When we have spoken with her every time, she's very lucid. She knows exactly who's around her. I had 10 minutes of interaction with her when she was originally arrested. She knew exactly who I was when I came to see her at her request. That was one of the first things that I asked to see, how lucid she was. She remembered me instantly. So she also remembers the investigators by name, and she makes requests of certain investigators by name. Completely different person in the courtroom. What I will say is I don't like the term outrageous because it's not really that outrageous. We have two children out there. That their client claims to be alive, and we're trying to locate them. And the Montgomery County Police will do everything within the bounds of the law to try and find out where those children are. And we will continue to do what we can to bring Sarah and Jacob home, and like I said, we'll abide by the court decision, obviously. We're just going to continue to be innovative and creative and trying to figure out what happened to Sarah and Jacob.
You talked about the struggle. It seems to be a struggle between an accused person's rights and the rights of two small children and mm-hmm. their safety. Talk to me a little about how that struggle is for you.
Again, as a law enforcement officer, I understand it. I respect it. As a father, if I wasn't a law enforcement officer, I'd be very upset. And I think Troy's expressed that. And I think if you go to most people, when it's their children in that situation, they would feel the same frustration that a system is standing in the way of finding out what happened to children. But also, I will say, Catherine is choosing not to tell where the kids are. She's making that choice. So even though the system plays a part in it, certainly the end party of this is Catherine Hoggle. She knows what happened to the kids. She could easily tell us today where the kids are and what happened to them, despite what her attorney's saying. But she's not choosing to do so.
Catherine's mom, Lindsay, spoke to the media after one of Catherine's status hearings.
Catherine is afraid of being charged further and going back to jail. She's now finally realizing that she does have a mental illness. She feels safe at Perkins. She wants to stay at Perkins. 2 months ago, when she was here, she was wanting to be competent. That has taken a nosedive since 2 months ago. And she's very capable of being competent. Whether she's taking psychotic drugs or not, she's not taking the right mix yet. in the right place. And she's very capable of being competent sooner rather than later. She understands the situation. The problem is she doesn't want to go to jail. It's as simple as that.
So, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
So do you think that's having an impact on one moving forward with the case and how open she's being, that fear of going to jail?
Absolutely. She told me that. And I think it's, again, she made a conscious decision after the last hearing for fear that she would be sent to jail. And somewhere along the line, that's got to be made clear to her what the charges are going to be, if they are. And somewhere along the line, make a change in the law where it keeps her at Perkins, which is where she belongs. That's where she needs to stay.
So when Troy is saying, are you agreeing with that?
For what I heard, yes. She's close to being competent. She's not completely there yet. She is not unrecoverable or whatever the word is. She's very capable, but she's afraid of going to jail. You know, my message to Catherine is the same that I've made since day one. I am here for you. I will stay with you whatever we have to do to solve the mystery of Sierra and Jacob. And I will talk to anybody I have to talk to find these children, to find out what happened. And so she knows that, you know, I'm going to keep that word. I'm still here for Sierra and Jacob. It's like Troy said, we've got to remember this is not a minor situation. There are still two children that we don't know where they are.
Troy also spoke on this day about his conversations with Catherine regarding her competency.
I just find it just seems to get left out every time we walk in here. They use words like detaining children and neglect. Facts about it is my two kids are missing. They're gone. They're not here. My daughter's birthday just passed for the second time without my kids being here. So I just don't understand how all that kind of gets left out of this. And what becomes important is her mental status. I don't mean to sound insensitive. I really don't care about her mental status at this point. I want my children home. As far as charges go, I don't care about that. I want my children home, you know? So, a lot of this, I'm just hoping it's a means to an end. You know, I mean, one of the things that she had told me when I talked to her, actually, on Sarah's birthday, I called just to see if that would be a point where she might break and say something. What she did say to me, because I had asked her about wanting to be competent before and working towards competency, and what she had said to me was that she didn't want to go back to jail. This was pretty much the lesser of two evils, and that she's being advised to stay incompetent.
You don't believe her?
She told me she's basically being advised to be incompetent, and she doesn't want to go back to jail. So, I mean, I believe her then. I don't believe what she's doing here. Whenever I talk to her, there's no confusion about the charges. She knows that that two of the charges carry 5 years. She knows the other ones would be time served. I told her that basically if she were to come forward and the kids were okay, if anything she says is true and she brought them home, I've talked to the state's attorney's office. They would drop all of the charges to bring my kids home. She was told apparently by her attorney what she said was false and said that they were going to bring all kind of other charges against her to make sure she stays locked up even if they come home and that she's to remain incompetent. Those are her words, not mine.
You called her on Sarah's birthday?
Yes.
And how long did you talk to her?
Probably I was looking at the phone. It was like 16 minutes. I mean, the conversation started basically where it was more or less, just about Sarah's birthday coming up. She asked me about my oldest son's birthday who passed, and I explained to her, as I do always, I'm not answering any questions about him until the other two are home. If she cared about him, then she would bring the other two home. He's distraught just like everybody else. And then it was a matter of her saying that they couldn't be picked up without her. And I said, if you tell me where they are, I don't care who has them. Believe me, they'll be picked up. I also, I let her know that everyone out here understands the distinct possibility that she killed my children. She denied that again. And the conversation basically just went into her lack of competency, what it means, what the charges are, where she explained them fully to me. So I don't know how in here it's being said that she does understand, because she explained them the same way, quite frankly, that Ryan and John have explained them to me. So she flat out told me that she's being advised to remain incompetent. And that was the conversation.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
One way that the prosecution has tried to go around these hurdles has been to request that Catherine be evaluated by an independent doctor. State's Attorney John McCarthy spoke about this.
We have another status. On the 25th, I believe, this month, our motions have been filed in the court requesting that we be able to get an independent evaluation by a doctor of our choosing of Ms. Hoggle. That motion has not been ruled on. And we are attempting to get some other records. We filed motions on this. The court is well aware of what we filed. The defense has responded. Obviously, they are not agreeing to the independent evaluation, and the determination will have to be made by a judge. But again, we are diligently continuing to prepare that case, and the police are continuing to investigate the case of those missing children. But this is an important step to get us to a point where we can begin going forward on the cases. As long as someone's incompetent, you can't proceed in trial. So this is step one. And obviously, it's frustrating to the family members of these children that are missing. It's frustrating, I think, to the court that this matter has gone 17 or 18 months and we have not been able to resolve it. But I'm hoping that we can move the ball forward and have a public hearing about where are we on this case. And then and whatever ruling the court makes, we'll respect the ruling. But I think it's time that we go into court and have an open discussion about where we are with Ms. Hoggle's mental health. I just want the community to rest assured that the police have not turned their back in this case. They will look at anything that's reasonable, but again, the mere passage of time is not on our side. And I think anybody with common sense knows that.
Catherine's defense attorney, David Felsen, spoke on this issue as well. I would like to point out that when he says that the doctor who continues to find Catherine incompetent was hired by the state, he doesn't mean that she was hired by the prosecution, but instead the state-run psychiatric facility.
I am not a mental health professional. These people have been hired by the state. Dr. Robinson has done several competency. When I say several, I can't even fathom the number. She is a recognized medical professional. She's not the only one, by the way, who has found Catherine to not be competent. There was another doctor at the jail who made the initial referral who found the same thing. I don't think that the state's recitation of facts in that regard is accurate. I guess we would have to ask Dr. Robinson. But I know that Dr. Robinson does thorough, complete competency exams. I am not a medical doctor. I can't say how long it takes to do one.
I would think, as with any kind of medical matter, the first one is usually the longest, and then you know what you're looking for. It would be analogous to someone has a pain in their leg. They go to a physician. The doctor has to spend a lot of time figuring out what's wrong with the person's leg. They finally take an x-ray after several tests. They see that there's a broken leg. Well, the next time that they come to the doctor, they just go right to the x-ray, see if the leg is healing or whatever the doctors do. I think that second appointment would be shorter, but I can't speak to the particulars of what the evaluations have been. I will tell you that I have dealt with Dr. Robinson in other cases where she has found my clients competent. And I think that the people at Perkins, though I don't always agree with them in cases, as a general rule, do a good job. That's how the legislature set up the system. It was done with consultation and with hearings and all kinds of appropriate legislative intent. They figured out the system. Everybody's followed the system. As it stands now, the state's attorney just wants to change the system in this case. We don't think that's appropriate.
And do you think she's restorable?
It's a medical determination. I couldn't tell you.
With the battle over Catherine's competency raging on, many people believe that Sarah and Jacob have gotten lost in all of this. They have no voice in the court system. Just last month, Catherine was in court yet again, and the judge ruled that she is still not competent and set another status hearing for July of 2017. Catherine has stated that she believes eventually they will just release her from the facility if she remains incompetent. So, is she gaming the system, or is she truly incompetent? The prosecution has filed affidavits from many people close to Catherine who believe she is faking incompetency. Even her mother wrote that Catherine knows precisely what's going on and that she's highly intelligent with an IQ of 135. But her doctors continue to say that she spends her time isolating herself at the facility and she doesn't have a good grasp on the legal issues she's facing. She has even attacked other patients and made many escape attempts. The message that Troy would like to get out there is that at the end of the day, his two children, who were just 2 and 3 years old when they disappeared, are still missing. The whole focus of the case currently is on Catherine, but no matter what happens with the case against her, his children deserve to come home, no matter what the outcome is. No legal system is perfect, and it's a source of constant frustration that there are no advocates for the victims in the courtroom. There is no unified goal to find these children. I understand the protections that are in place because there have been so many cases where those with mental health issues have been railroaded by the court system. How do we fix this? I won't sit here and pretend that I have the answers to this question. This case is tragic. It's heartbreaking. My heart goes out to Sarah and Jacob's family members who continue to fight to bring them home. When I interviewed Troy last week, he expressed to me just how difficult this has been, not only on him, but also Sarah and Jacob's older brother, who is now just 8 years old. He's had to deal with the loss of 2 siblings and also his mother, who admits to being responsible for their disappearance and claims to know exactly where they are. It's hard enough for us adults to wrap our minds around that. Imagine what it must be like for a young child. At the time of their disappearances, Jacob was about 3 feet tall and about 30 pounds, with light brown hair and brown eyes. Sarah was 3 feet 6 inches tall and about 36 pounds with brown hair and brown eyes. The children are biracial. Jacob was last seen in a white t-shirt and blue shorts, and Sarah was wearing a pink tank top and blue shorts. Age progression photos of both children have been released, and I will be sharing photos on social media, so please check those out when you can. Troy asks that if you see the children, please immediately call 911. The number for the Montgomery County Police Department is 301-279-8000. But as you can imagine, Troy and his family have lost a little bit of faith in the system and ask that you also send any tips through their Facebook page, which is Find Sarah, Find Jacob, or send an email to justiceforsarahandjacob@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts, suggestions, or ideas about the case, or a fresh place to look for the kids, they're very open to discussion over on the Find Sarah, Find Jacob page on Facebook. That brings us to the end of episode 78. I would like to thank Troy for taking the time to speak with me and all of you for listening. If you'd like to reach me, I'm on Facebook where there's a page and a discussion group. My Twitter handle is @TheVanishedPod, and I'm also now on Instagram. If you have a missing loved one that you would like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at TheVanishedPodcast.com. Join me next week. I will be discussing the case of a man from Iowa who went missing in Texas.
Feel that they're dead, but in my mind, logically, I also know there's a good chance that she killed him. And I can look at both sides even as their father. You know, I'm not stuck in this. They have to be alive no matter what. It's a matter of let's find out what happened. Let's get the truth. And no matter what condition or capacity it is, my kids deserve to come home. If it's that, you know, they've been hidden by some great family who just couldn't have kids and they're loving them and have taken great care of them, they still need to come home. If, God forbid, something like they've been, you know, sold into some kind of a sex trade, they still need to come home. And if they're dead in the ground, we still need to find them and bring them home. My kids deserve to come home no matter what. I mean, basically, I mean, just, you know, we're looking at all angles, and anyone who has any ideas, who feels like they can help, you know, we're accepting help from anywhere at this point, you know. And I mean, I guess that's something too, is like, you know, I mean, obviously right now my focus has to be my children, my family, my situation with this, and their situation. But at the same time, you know, I'm looking forward. So when this is resolved, no matter what the resolution is, to putting together some organizations to change this so other parents don't find themselves in this situation. So, I mean, that's something that I'm definitely looking towards. And I'm kind of like, you know, I'm looking to start organizing kind of now. I can't do but so much acting immediately, but that's something that is going to be very important to me going forward, to make sure that there are changes made. Unfortunately, you know, going forward with that right now doesn't do anything for my kids because everything takes so long to go through our system.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between, so you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.